Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
You know, when people visit this church and then they come back or they make their way and they decide either as an individual or a couple or a family or however the makeup of their attendance is in their family, friends. And they say things of why they feel like this can be their church home. And I sat with, along with some deacons, in the membership, what we call a membership interviews. Let me just tell you what happens in a membership interview. The individual or the couple or family come in, and it's usually me or two or three deacons, and I just let them know that this is the format. Yes, it's official, and yes, this is important, but please, relax. We're talking as family and friends, and so you don't need to be uptight about this. This is not a grilling. Okay, this is not, you better have the right answer. You're out, you know. What we do is we sit and we just dialogue. We, the deacons or myself, we may ask a couple of questions. You know, how did you enjoy the class, the faith and practice class? By the way, they speak so highly of you, Dennis, and the way that you conduct that class. Thanks for doing that and for continuing to do it. All in favor? He just does such a great job with that class. We dialogue at this interview, and, you know, we ask some questions, and then we just ask some personal stuff. We just kind of get to know each other, not always do the new members know the deacons or vice versa, and so do a little dialogue, a little casual conversation. We may talk about the class, and we provide them opportunity to ask us questions, and if you have questions for us, you know, and chit-chat a little bit, and then we pray together with them. And then, the meeting is over, and of course, we as a board have to make recommendation, a motion. There has to be a second, and then we vote on receiving them as members. It has to be an official kind of a thing. A church for us to function as a registered nonprofit, we need to have a membership, and we need to have an annual business meeting. We need to have constitution and bylaws. And that's, you know, the things that we have to do to be able to be a church, a legitimate church, registered here in the United States. So for us to do that, I don't want to say we play the game as if it's lightly. We take it serious, but we have to do this to function and exist. And so that's what we do. And so we sit with these members, and, you know, usually one of the questions is, you know, how did you end up making your way to New Life? You know, how did you end up coming here? How did you go through the process of, you know, making this your home? I'm just always interested in that story. People, depending on what our need is, you come here for a lot of different reasons. Maybe it's for, you know, your children connect, your teenager connects, or there's a specific ministry that, you know, has your interest, and so you connect there and something like that. But I want you to know, this is the one thing that on almost every occasion, and certainly in this last series of interviews as new members, this is the one thing of why they say they have made New Life their home. They said, when we come into this place, referring to like on a Sunday, we sense, we feel God's presence in this place. Now, we know that there are contributing factors. First and foremost, it is that God is kind enough to reveal himself to us. Okay? All the glory, all the honor, is to the Lord, that he would be kind enough and show himself in a grace and a mercy to all of us that when we gather at this place. There are some other factors that go along with God's presence and the welcoming of his presence into this place. And there's a variety of them. Ones that we hear, you know, they comment on the worship teams that we have. The worship, the music, the presence of the Lord, the expression of worship in this place. Listen to me, I have had, and I want to be careful, I'll just tell you. Because we have more than one, so you may not know which family this is. But I've had a Puerto Rican family. They came in, and they said, "Pastor, no offense. Please don't be offended by this, but, you know, when I came here, I just really planned on visiting because I felt like we needed to get back to church. And so we visited, and I never planned on staying." Because, once again, a cultural difference. Okay? It wasn't a spiritual thing or anything. It's the outside appearance that I'm going to go visit because I feel like I need to get back to church, but I don't plan on staying. It's a white American church. I predominantly speak Spanish, and we are an expressive people in worship. And they came in and went, "Oh, they're a little lively for a white American church." Which was good. Okay? But this was the difference. It wasn't just the music. And it wasn't just your nationality or a little bit of expression. That's bits and pieces. This is what they said. It's that we sensed the presence of the Lord in this place. I mean, they comment how friendly you are. Some of them made specific comments about an older, bigger guy with facial hair and his wife who was blonde. That could have been this welcoming couple. It could have been this welcoming couple. Right here, these two. Not you guys. These two. They're greeters. They're friendly. They made specific comments. Yeah, well, they're friendly. And then, you know, there was this couple who really, you know, kind of encouraged, really warm, all of this. And then you come into this place and you're welcoming and encouraging, and we provide time to interact and connect with people. It's all good. But without his presence, some in the membership interview, they comment and say, "Well, you know, the presence of the Lord here, and yeah, we come because of the preaching." And I just take it in an interview setting that they're just being nice because they want to be members. They don't really believe that. Come because of the preaching, and that's kind. You know, I appreciate that. But without his presence. So these different things that we do, in addition to others, are a welcoming of his presence. They are an honoring of him, and he shows up, and he reveals himself more and affects the presence. But this is what I believe. I believe the reason, in addition to God's grace and mercy and kindness to even show up, has a lot to do with you and the people next to you. Turn to the person next to you and say, "His presence here has a lot to do with you. His presence here has a lot to do with you." Say it. I don't want anyone untold. You guys in the... Okay. Don't just sit there like you're alone in this place, okay? We want you to participate. We want someone to tell you. We want you to tell somebody else. Has a lot to do with you and you being here. We know that the scripture says in a variety of places in Psalm 22 and 29 and that God inhabits or is enthroned in the praises of his people. We know that we worship him, we sing to him, We shout hallelujah. We shout amen. We declare something about the Lord. We know that that enthrones him and he's present and he inhabits, or we are in his presence and he allows us to, you know, get a glimpse of him and taste of him and who he is, and he comes into the place. We know that the declaring of his word, you know, if you were to look at Mark 16, you can probably look in other places too. Mark 16, it says, as they went out and proclaimed the word, the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word with signs and wonders. We know that the declaring of his word brings the nearness of his presence. We know that drawing close to the Lord, if we take steps to draw close to him, he does what? He draws near to us. There are scripture and biblical principles about God's presence and what we do and how we respond that has to do with the evidence of knowing that he's here. You participate in these things. But this is what I want to tell you and why it's so significant that you come to this place. It isn't about just some obligation to come once a week or, you know, come here once a month. If you're worried about parking, get here early. Here, make us go to two services. Make us expand the parking. Okay? Make us do it. Prove the point. There's something, and it's not just about getting a bunch of people here. It's about what happens for people. Sometimes we just walk in out of our routine, or we come, and we forget this, that when you come, because of God's presence in your life as an individual, you come into this place with other people of God's presence in their life, and that there is this culmination of testimony of what God has done in each and every one of our lives. Just coming to this place is a testimony in the Spirit. It's a declaration in the Spirit that you've come because there is something that you are looking for in him, or you're coming to worship him. It's something about him. And that what your life has represented up to this point or before him or since salvation, it's all of this. And so when you come to this place, there's a culmination. Listen, this is why it's so important. If we were to look at Matthew chapter 13, I will read this to you. I'll start with verse 53 so you can get the context. And when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there. And coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us?" In other words, we know his family. We know a little bit of history. We know where he came from. Isn't this not the same boy that grew up here? And what they did is they took offense at him. In other words, how can he do these great things, and where did he get such wisdom when he is from among us? In other words, you know, it's interesting when someone among you becomes famous or they do well. You'd think the whole town would cheer him on. But instead, it's like there's a holding back. If we can't make it out of here, and we don't have that kind of wisdom, and we can't do that kind of thing, and if we don't have that kind of talent, and if we don't have that kind of skill, or why are you so much better than us? You're just like us. And all of a sudden, they took offense at him. They were offended. And Jesus says to them, "A prophet is without honor in his own hometown and in his own household." And this is the verse. And he says, "And he did not do many mighty works or many miracles there because they had unbelief." See, when you come to this place, those of you who are Christians, whether it's a new faith or a new walk in the Lord, or whether you have been walking with Him for a long time, you bring with you, because you have faith in Him, you bring this belief. And there is this culmination of faith that can rise because you are not here alone. Your attendance here, your involvement here, you being here makes a difference in the spirit, and it makes a difference for the people who come through these doors who maybe don't know the Lord, or they have struggled in their walk, or they walked away from Him and they're looking at returning. Then maybe the story is the same that says, you know, we feel like we need to get back to church. I guess I'll just go visit there. I'll go to the church on the hill. I'll go to the church over by the family restaurant. I'll go to the church by the Super 8. I like that that hotel is there. And I like that half their rooms face this direction. Do you know that people who go to that hotel and look out the window at this place actually say, you know, I probably need to go over there. Did you know that? Because I've heard those stories. Whether they are visiting, passing through, or they are staying there for months because they're a military family. Much like Arlene and Ronald, who are not here this morning. They were staying at this hotel. She looked out the window and said, we need to get back to church. I guess I'll go over there. And now they're members. And it's not about growing the membership. It's about the kingdom is growing. This is not about the title of New Life. It's about Kingdom New Life. Your presence here, your attending here, your coming here matters. Even if you feel like you're just kind of doing it out of obligation, or I better show up because the pastor will probably call me. How many of you who are here this morning, I have called you and said, listen, you haven't been to church. What's the deal? How many of you? Just raise your hand. I'm talking about Sundays, not during the week. No, I'm kidding you. I'm kidding. How many of you? I am not calling you because, hey, you weren't at church, and hey, what's going on? You better keep your church attendance, or you've been away a few weeks. Your membership is in jeopardy. Sorry. I am not that guy. I'll call you and check on you or bump into you in the marketplace somewhere. And it's amazing how when I bump into you and you haven't been to church maybe for a week or two, and right away is, hi, Pastor, I want you to know that we've been sick and we've been gone and we've been on vacation. Sorry to interrupt you. But I wasn't over here to come find you and find out about your church attendance. It's interesting because, you know, I can interrupt them and someone will go, oh, you know, and I'll say, how are you doing? Lead the conversation or the directing. Then there's always those who have that personality that says, okay, he's done interrupting me. Now I need to finish my story and tell you why I haven't been to church. Because they got to get it out and get their justification done. I just want to know, are you doing okay? You need anything? It's okay you've been away. Crowley's, it's okay you've been gone. But I'm really glad to see you still coming here. Linda says to me tomorrow, you know, hi. She introduced herself because they've been away. She had it like she was, you know, giving me a hard time, like, you know, we're a visitor. Listen, your presence here makes a difference because of Christ in your life. And there is this culmination. Don't think for one moment, well, I go to church there, I'm not really involved, and it doesn't really matter, and I just like to slip in and slip out. Yeah, we'd like to see you more involved. God is probably calling you to more than just attending, but your presence here makes a difference. Don't think I'm just lost here somewhere in the numbers. The church has grown a bit, so, you know, it doesn't really matter if I go or not. Oh, it matters. It matters, not just for you. It matters in the culmination of His presence in your life, joining together with others. What does the Scripture say? One will put 1,000 to flight your enemy. It will, one. Two will put 10,000 to flight. Listen, this is kingdom math. You know, you would think if one can fight off 1,000 and you add one more, that would be 2,000. Not in God's math. Not in kingdom math. It is some exponential number. That one who runs 1,000 off, two can run 10,000 off. Do the math in this room. What if it goes to 3 people, 4 people, 5 people, 50 people, 100 people, 200 people? Do you understand the culmination of God's presence in this place? Because you are here. Because your life represents a testimony of His grace, His mercy, His power. That when people come into this place who don't know the Lord, or it's brand new, or they're a little confused, and they don't know all their theology, and they, somebody invited me or dragged me along, or, I'm dating her and she attends here, and if I want to stay her boyfriend, I have to go to church. Or, well, I come because it'll make my mother happy. But when I'm 18... That's your attitude. I hope your life goes slow till you get to 18 so you have time for the Holy Spirit to make a change. Or you become a Jessica Friedenland who normally sits here, who her parents loved her and Christians and, you know, and she went and did her thing and then she became an adult and went, whoa, the life I want was the life my parents had and I can't get it without Jesus. Look at her today. Man, is she growing in the Lord. And there's stories like that all over this room. Because your testimony speaks of His presence. Culmination together that when people come into this place, that you know what? Because of His presence here, because He is here, and you brought Him with you because He lives in you. We know that principle through Scripture when we come to faith in Christ and the indwelling of His Holy Spirit. That when they come into this place, the enemies to their soul break down and take flight. The power of God's Spirit through kingdom mathematics of two putting 10,000 to flight. There's way more than two of us in here. The impact of God's presence and Spirit in this place. You and I sometimes grow used to it. We come and go. It kind of feels the same to us. And I'm glad for the familiarity. I want His presence to increase, that it would arrest us when we come into this place. But for those who have been wandering or without a church or looking for a place, and they come here, and I hear the testimonies and the story, it's, yeah, this is good and we like this and else, but we sense God in this place. It's what matters. It's what counts. It's why we say that we can go through all these motions, but without Him here, why? What would it matter? You want to put the enemy to flight? You want to put the enemy to flight in your life? Yes, you're called to your own faith and where to stand, but I want you to know that when you come into a place with other believers, there is this exponential power of His Spirit because of His indwelling in you and the people around you. It matters. You count. You are involved because you're here. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 9, it says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of heaven? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor those who rival in evil, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. The list doesn't end there. That was not a complete list. He's giving examples of those who will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he says, remember, this is what some of you were like. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You come to this place and you bring a testimony of what you were and who you are now in Christ. That is a testimony of God's power. It is His presence in your life. It's what you once were compared to what you are now and what He has made you. You don't know everybody's testimony around you. And that's okay. It's not that you have to. It's that when you come to this place, you carry a testimony of His grace, His mercy, and His power. Just like the person next to you and the person across the sanctuary from you and all the people in between you. That there is such a presence of God that culminates in this place to make such a difference for us, for those who are struggling, for those who had a tough week, for those who don't know the Lord, for those who are bound. Listen, it's not about economics. Listen, this morning in Phil, I love this. Here, stand up. We're in there praying in my office because he was on the worship team. And we're praying, and I was praying with my eyes open, and I was looking at the worship team in the circle as we begin to pray, and I love Phil's hands. They're cracked. They're split. They're stained. And then, around the circle, you can sit down now, Phil. Around the circle is Audra. Audra, stand up. Look at these hands. They're a little dry. She's been taking care of kids. She's been doing dishes. She's been hugging her husband. Yay. They're both lifting their hands to the Lord. They represent very different lives. They represent very different pasts. But all a story of His goodness and glory. Matt, stand up. Dude wears ink. And he's here. He's working on his relationship with the Lord. He's setting an example to Michelle's son what a father should be. Redeemed. Stand up. No ink. Really? Or okay, all right, because your mom's here. We want the answer to be no. No ink. Young, full of passion, full of life, doesn't know much. That's not a crime. You're young. Old. Stand up, Bill. Old, not so spry. Stands up slow. A life of experience, wisdom, and a man who comes here who never really wanted to come to church. But something happened in his heart because of God's presence in this place. And because you were here and you brought the presence of the Lord, and something real has happened for Bill. And Shirley's happy about it. She'll tell you he still has a long way to go, but that's all right. Italian, some kind of white color. I love it. Color, spice, life. So that when Hispanics come in here, they see a little life beyond the German Scandinavian way of worshiping. And you bring culture, you bring a different past. Because of your faith in Christ, His presence is in this place, and you put 10,000 to flight for people who come into this room who are struggling. That your presence here matters. It's not just about the music and the worship. And it's not just about the preaching. And it's not just about the friendliness in the lobby. And it's not just about the programs. All of those matter. I get it. But it's about His presence in this place that you bring. Different histories. Listen. It says what we once were. It gives a list. If you've committed adultery or you've been an idolater, you've gone against the things of God, you had a homosexual background, you were a drunk or you were connected to substance abuse. Listen, none of those inherit the kingdom of God according to this, but it says this, and here's the hope. You were once like this. But here it is. You aren't like that anymore because of Christ. It says because of Him, you've been justified. Your past is gone. There is a power that is within Christ, within you, to set you free, to bring the presence that makes a difference for people. So guess what? If that's the stuff that's in your past, it does not determine your eternity. If this is what you were lost. If it's no longer what you are, then you have been found. And your eternal destination is different than what it was. Listen, for those of you who are born in a, you know, pretty ideal home or Christian home or whatever else, I want you to know you were still born into sin. And you were not on your way. Oh, you were covered by the faith of your parents, as Paul writes, but there's a point where you have to make it your own decision. And you came to that point in life. And maybe your past is not stained with the same acts of others, but I will tell you this, you were born in darkness. And in Christ, you have become part of the light. Ephesians chapter 2. We know that it's by grace we have been saved through faith. It's not of our own doing, it's a gift of God. And in verse 13 it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ." It is by His blood. So when we come to this place, we speak of His blood that has washed away a past. And we come from different histories and different walks of life. The beauty of it. So that when people come into this place, they don't feel like they are with a bunch of people who can't relate and who have no idea about the darkness that they might be experiencing in their life. I know some of the stories. You might be surprised about the past darkness in the suit next to you. And it's not where we need to dig, and it's not where we need to focus, and it's not even the story that we need to hear. It's the declaration that Christ has forgiven and that He will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, men and women, young and old, and every nation. I'm so glad that the kingdom of heaven is not about the color of skin. Because if it was, I would not be included because I am not Jewish. But He included the Gentiles. I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. That's what Paul wrote. Right. You being in this place makes all the difference. Because of the presence of God in your life and the testimony you carry with you. Those in the pew around you may not know the story, but the spirit and the spirit world, they recognize those who are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ and the presence of God's spirit in their life. You got people in this place that the only alcohol they've ever had was in NyQuil. And they wouldn't have had that except their father has used it. If you're offended by that, then pray for me. But don't throw a stone at me. And you've got those who are locked up in alcohol for years. But through Christ, they both have been redeemed and set free. Amen. If you're in this place and you are divorced or going through a divorce or freshly divorced, listen to me. God does not hate you. And this church is not throwing stones at you. You press into Christ, you get close to Jesus, and He will walk with you through it. Yeah, but, you know, I've done this wrong and I've done that wrong. Then you are in good company. How many, I'll prove it to you, how many of you in this place have done something wrong against God's will and you did it even after you knew that it wasn't the right thing to do? Put your hand up. Hold them up. Take a look around. You ever done something wrong you knew it was wrong? Never? Are you his parents? Talk to him and say, is he your son? Yeah, say, son, we love you, but we have a whole list of things that you knew better. So don't sit here in this sanctuary and lie to the people. Put your hand up and do yourself a favor. Thank you. Because if you don't raise your hand, the people around you are going to start to go. I am not making light of what we have done wrong. I'm telling you that every one of us have a testimony of His grace and His forgiveness. And when you come to this place, it matters. It matters in the spirit. It matters in putting to flight those who have been chased all week or maybe all of their life by sin, by corruption, by abuse, by negative thinking, by condemnation, and they come into this land of the living. They come into this place where there's a testimony sitting next to them and across from them and around them that speak of God's power, His forgiveness, that there's a power to be changed. None of us are righteous on our own. Not this preacher, I'll tell you that. I know him. I could condemn me. There's times I have. Just like there's times you've condemned yourself. But those who are in Christ, therefore, there is no condemnation. What we were is not what we are. And what we are becoming. You still may struggle. You're in this place and you still may be struggling in your walk and you're fighting the good fight. Listen, you hear it this morning. You keep coming. The presence of God in your life, partnered with the fellowship of other believers, you will not fight alone. And in the spirit, the darkness will flee. It recedes. It gets back because it cannot overcome the light of God and His presence, the light of God in each other's lives. Part of coming to this place is part of winning the battle. Don't think that your presence here doesn't matter. Don't think that your involvement here doesn't matter. It counts. It is significant. Understand the spiritual principle of coming because you carry a testimony of God's grace, mercy, and power. And it makes a difference in the declaration, in the spirit. And it affects the people who come into this place and say, oh, God's here. Some sense it before the music is played. Because the testimonies have already arrived, speaking of his glorious power. Why don't you stand up with me, please, all over this room. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of the light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. To continue to maintain his presence and to welcome his presence and have an ever-increasing presence of God flowing in and out and throughout your life. That his grace in you would be distributed to those around you to set them free.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.